Welcome back to another episode of Two Idiot Girls.
Woohoo!
This is episode 8, and this is another special episode. So yes. My name is Dayson.
And I'm Drew.
And this is like part 2 of our navigating social media as a minority woman. And we also have a special guest to go over this with us. So I'll have Drew intro our special guest.
Yes. Today we have the wonderful, amazing, so incredibly fucking smart Chris, the author, the one and only. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy to have you.
Thanks for inviting me. I love your content. And I'm definitely a fucking idiot. So I'm an
So worth it's a match made in heaven, honestly, the three of us. Look at us. Yeah. Three idiot girls. Well, as part of our series to try and platform Black creators that we feel are truly making a difference and people that deserve a much bigger platform, deserve their flowers, Chris is obviously one of those as well for us personally, because we find her content so incredibly engaging, informative. I was just joking with Chris before we started recording that, like, I'm just mean, but she's educational and mean. So she's like, she's a twofer, and she's so fucking funny and engaging. So Chris, typically, I would say you like tackle a lot of, I guess, issues that you see on the platform, whether it's misogyny, right? Homophobia, I guess like popular culture topics. I saw you talking about Kanye and Kim and Rihanna and ASAP. So she kind of covers the whole gamut. She kind of covers the whole gamut. She has, like, your TikTok handle says, your opinionated gay cousin. They got lots of opinions. I mean, me too.
I do. Yeah. Kind of the point of my content, what I wanted the point of my content to be, because kind of in real life, I cope with humor a lot. Like when it comes to serious or stressful situations, like humor is how I cope. So I kind of wanted my content to kind of reflect that. So like you said, I talk about serious issues such as racism, sexism, homophobia, but I don't want it to just be so serious, even though those are serious topics. Yeah. So I always try to put a little humor in it because that's just who I am.
Yeah, no. Absolutely. Yeah. I feel that. Right. We all cope like that. I honestly think that's why we turn out so funny.
Yeah, exactly. The pain makes it funny.
Yeah, it really builds up that armor, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So right. Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted my platform to reflect. And I think you're similar.
Yeah. Like,
obviously you're tackling misogyny, something the men saying the most hateful, disgusting things to you and other women, but you talk about it in a way to where we're able to laugh about it as well.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I think we find common ground on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think too, Hondes, like it's kind of like a fine line that you tread, because, you know, especially with misogyny specifically, because men are men inherently believe women are stupider, right? They're like dumb and vapid, so they already aren't gonna listen. If you just were the nicest person ever about it, you're like, hey, please don't do this, it's not nice because XYZ, they still wouldn't.
Regardless of the delivery, you're gonna get the same result, which is hatred. So, you know, just be a bitch.
Might as well, right?
Worked for me.
Right. So we kind of, Dace, you want to go into the first topic?
Sure. So we wanted to start with kind of your introduction to social media, like personally. So like, what was your first experience on social media like when you first, like, if it was like Facebook or I don't know, like, what was that like for you?
So my introduction to social media was actually MySpace.
When
I was like 10, of course I was not allowed to have a MySpace at that time, but I decided I was going to get one anyway. So yeah, I snuck and made a MySpace. I had like an alias email address and all of that. An email address I still remember, but I'm not gonna say. So yeah, I created my little fake MySpace page. I'm sorry, I stole my sister's flip phone, was taking little pictures with like my butt up on the mirror, just like crazy as fuck. So I started MySpace. That was very short-lived. My mom found out. So I had to take that down. And actually after that, my involvement with social media was probably as minimal as it gets, believe it or not. I had a Facebook for like family members that I rarely ever used. I made a Twitter. I never was really active on it. Instagram, I really wasn't active on. Like, really, I just got into social media when I started my TikTok.
Wow. Actually, okay.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, mm. like a year, like me 2 years ago, TikTok is something I would have never done.
Same.
Like, right? I didn't post photos of myself on social media, Facebook, Instagram. So me making like videos, unheard of. And everybody who knows me, when they found out, was like, what? So yeah, TikTok was pretty much my first real dive into social media.
Wow, that's so interesting. Would you say that you're grateful for that? Like, I guess lack of experience and lack of exposure to social media as a child, like growing up through like those formative years?
To an extent. Mostly because they can't find old people to cancel me for.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh my gosh, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I still got like, even though I wasn't like participating as far as posting, of course I used to like scroll on Tumblr, scroll on Instagram. I just wasn't active as far as my participation. So you know, I got a sense of what social media was, but I am grateful that I wasn't so into it, because me as a teenager, like, I could not imagine me highlighting that publicly. I could not imagine, oh my gosh, me as a teenager, like, my opinions and everything drastically different.
The evolution has been real, so I'm glad it wasn't documented, definitely grateful for that. We talked about that on days recently, especially because, like, I don't know, how old are you, Chris? I wish I should have asked earlier.
I'm 26.
Okay, me too.
Oh my God.
26 too.
You look so much younger.
Yeah, you look so much younger. Yeah, I'm 26. Dace is 28.
Yeah.
So it's
you
like
you look younger. 28's not old, but you definitely have.
Yeah, she looks really young. I know she looks younger than me. What the hell? What the fuck? Well, that's another thing too, because we were just talking about this when we were kids. The kind of things that were funny and or trendy or at the time were rooted in so many different facets of bigotry, like whether it was homophobia, racism, misogyny. Like, those were the things that were funny. They were in popular media, they were in movies, absolutely. They were on TV. So like having the access to that kind of social media where you could like put every single living thought you've ever had on the internet is such a slippery slope, like for people our age. And I feel like even now, Days, we talked about it, like younger people, like Gen Zers, don't really understand that because they grew up in a time where everyone was woke, right? Everyone's like educated enough to an extent to understand like this is okay. Yeah. So when, you know, old things resurface from people who are our age or older, they're like, oh, like that's terrible. Cancel. Like you're a terrible person. And it's like, obviously if it's not something outright, like using the N-word and anything like that, like something crazy. But if it's like old jokes and stuff that people used to make back in the day that were never funny, we just know now that it's not funny.
Yeah.
Like young people are so quick to be like, oh, you're canceled. Like you never should have said that. But it's like, that's just what was funny at the time. It's not a good thing. It's not an excuse. It's just like a fact. Right,
I agree, because I mean, even as critical and fucking condescending and preachy as I am on my platform, right, I do believe in giving people grace to a certain extent. So I definitely understand, like, because like I said earlier, me, like as a teenager, just I was a pygmy. That's number one, the biggest fucking pygmy ever. Like, if you act like a whore, you're treated like a whore. I was horrible.
Yeah, so same.
I get it. Like, life is about growth and change. Mm-hmm. So if somebody has an old ignorant ass tweet from like 2011, should they be forever marked by that?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. But I think you're so right in the sense that people 18, 19, 20, as of now, they have access to a lot more education. Social media is more evolved than it used to be. But, you know, we were, I'm trying to find the right wording. We were ignorant as fuck back then.
Yeah, honestly.
No, so, I mean, I don't believe in just canceling people for every little thing they did in the past. Plus, like I always say, there's no shame in being ignorant. The shame is in staying ignorant.
Sure.
Because ignorant just means you're unaware. Mm-hmm. And we're all socially unaware to some extent. So I think if you're just trying to educate yourself and unlearn certain behaviors, then there's no shame in having an ignorant past.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, Dace, like Dace and I attribute a lot to like my education, especially like when I went to college and everything, like you just experience life in a much different like scope, I guess. Like your scope just gets so much wider when you like meet different people from different walks of life. And Dason was like huge in educating me about like gender identity, right? Sexual mm-hmm. orientation, like all these things that are very nuanced and not so black and white. And mm-hmm. so I feel like it's made me a better person overall. Like just like the education makes you, I think, more open and more willing to learn and unlearn, most importantly, unlearn. Cause me and Dace joke all the time about how we used to be pygmies on days.
Yeah. It's awful. Yeah. It's like embarrassing to look back and I'm like, oh my God, where was I like that?
No, seriously.
Like as a girl, I think a lot of us go through that pygmy stage because yeah. that's kind of how we're conditioned to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? We live Absolutely. In a world that's very male-centered. The mm-hmm. desires, the wants, the opinions of men are always centered. We grow up seeing that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe not all of us, but I think most of us had that little internalized misogyny phase.
Yeah.
Oh,
because
yeah.
it's hard not to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Dace, so like we did an episode on that too, like unlearning internalized misogyny when we were mm-hmm. like got to college, thank God, right? We like released that part of us. Oh my God, thank God.
Yeah.
But like the funniest thing Dace ever told me about that, she was telling me that like the biggest thing she got to let go was pretending to like football, because she used to like pretend to like football all the time when we were
I think
kids.
It was funny because I didn't realize I was like bi until I got to college. So when I started hanging out with a lot more gay people, I'm like, you guys don't do things you don't want to do because you want people to like you, or do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then they're like, no, I do whatever I want. I'm all, oh, okay. Like I could do that. Like, I don't want to watch football. They're like, me either. Let's go do something else. So
right.
yeah, definitely a lot of internalized misogyny and homophobia yeah. growing up, especially when you're trying to fit sure. in and be straight and like the cool girl who likes to drink beer. Like it's exhausting. Exactly. Yeah.
Like I only hang out with guys.
Yeah, all my friends are boys. Yeah,
girls are just drama. That's why girls are drama. Now I'm like, that's a red flag to me. Like, you don't have one girlfriend, not one.
Yeah,
not one girl.
Earlier, when you talked about, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
Earlier, when you talked about like learning more about gender identity, like even me as a lesbian.
Yeah.
Like I've had to educate myself. Like yeah. I've known I was a lesbian since maybe about like the sixth grade. I've always known, I didn't even know that I liked girls, but I knew I was not interested in boys.
Yes.
So I knew very early on that I was a lesbian. Mm-hmm. But like even me in like high school, middle school, another thing I had to unlearn, biphobic as fuck.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Same.
Like yeah. like in middle school, high school, yeah. even like my or maybe my earlier 20s, I was like, ew, like I don't want to be in any type of proximity towards men. So if you like men, that's disgusting. I was yeah. telling y'all. Uh-huh. But it's just like we said, it's just taking the time to unlearn mm-hmm. and listen to people who have different experiences.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah. So. Well, especially, yeah, like, because my introduction to it was like, I joined a rugby team. That was like the first thing I did. And I thought I was straight and all my friends were gay. And I was like, this is weird. Like, and I, of course, grew up with all this like internalized homophobia. So I'm like, they probably all like me and want to sleep with me. I'm like, not to toot my horn too big, but I'm like, all right, relax. Like, you're not that high. You know? But yeah. And then just going through different experiences and still trying to figure out what am I doing. And I think growing more in tune with, I think when you feel like that, it's almost like you're not comfortable with yourself. I think 1,000% when people like talk way too much about trans, when they're like super transphobic, I'm like, there's something weird going on there. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah. It's of insecurities that you have. Yeah. And so I think, with gender identity and stuff like that, like I remember my friend telling me like, oh yeah, like we should all just use the same bathrooms. I'm like, why? People are going to watch me. Who does that in the bathroom? No one does that in the bathroom. I'm just trying to go to the bathroom and go home. So there's definitely a lot of internalized things that you tend to project onto other people.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of my favorite things about your content is that you yourself are queer. So there's a huge amount of like credibility that comes with being that person on TikTok who's educating you mm-hmm. and the fact that you're Black, like all of these like facets of your identity, like coming all up to the front that you utilize to educate people, I think make you super powerful and unique and different from other creators. Because mm-hmm. there's some other queer creators who like, I feel like can tend to like kind of play into stereotypes of not only queer people, but maybe like, do you know what I mean? And I feel like you uphold a different side of it that like, I feel like there's a big piece of you that I think that TikTok has needed for a long time. Because I know like Drew can only be an ally so much to the LGBTQ plus community, but for you to be a voice for them, I think means a lot to a lot of people. So I was so excited when Drew was like, oh my gosh, what if we ask Chris the author? I'm like, oh my God, I would love to have Chris the author.
Yeah, that's such a good point too, because I can only speak like in support of the LGBTQIA plus community for so far, because I'm not a part of it. I'm only supplementary to them. So like my job is to not take up space in an area that I'm not a part of. It's to uphold other people who can speak on behalf of them, because I would never be in a place to speak on behalf of gay people because it's not my place to. So that's why I love to follow creators like you, because you teach me so much more that I just don't experience from myself. So I think that's lend towards right, not staying ignorant forever, is interacting with people that do not come from the same facet of life as you. They have different life experiences from you. Like, I honest to God believe that's what makes you a better person, is like interacting and mingling and befriending and becoming close to and learning from people that are nothing like you, like, and from whether it's life experience or just overall personality. Like, that's why the pick me girl, I think that's universal though, and all three and all of us.
it's definitely of our generation for sure. I totally see that.
Oh yeah, the cool girl aesthetic thing was so big when we were young, like especially in high school. The fact that we're the same age too, I was like, in high school. Oh my gosh,
around
in high school.
The same era.
Which is so funny too, because even then you said you knew too that you were gay from a very young age, and even still, like, the internalized misogyny is so rife in all of us. Like, you just can't help it. Like, even if you know you don't like, you're not sexually attracted to men.
And that's a great point, because I'm like, I was never doing it for like to garner male attraction. Like, that's not what I wanted by any means. But I still had these opinions that reflected that misogyny. Great point, actually.
So that's
the approval of men, which is so awful to think about, but it's like that, like, oh, they think they're chill, so like that's cool, like
right,
they're like, I'm not like the other girls, not me, they sound different. I'm
literally
different. Exactly. So cringe.
Well, I know, right? Well, okay, so I know you said you didn't really have like too much experience as far as like posting and everything when you were younger, but like, what would you say was the first time you felt like truly represented in media, whether it's social media or maybe just regular entertainment media, like on TV? What would you say was the first time you truly felt represented?
That's a great question. Because sometimes I still struggle with feeling represented. But the thing about it is, obviously I'm Black, and my mom, growing up, I feel like because of the way that Black women are received in the world and treated in the world, she made it a point to kind of needle in that validation, which I'm extremely grateful for, because I feel like her being that way is kind of why I was quicker to unlearn some of my ignorance, right? She kept us so immersed in Black culture, Black music, Black movies, Black TV shows. So there were times where I did see people that kind of looked like me. Like, even, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the show Girlfriends.
Right.
So even that show, like seeing Tony and Maya, like these chocolate girls, I'm like, wow. And then I remember probably when I was like in 9th or 10th grade is when I discovered like lesbian web series on YouTube. Like all of these like low budget filmed on like a cell phone web series with these Black lesbians, but I love them because it opens up an entirely new world for me, because even like as far as a Black woman seeing myself represented, a gay Black woman never will. That was probably the first like eye opening for me, was when I discovered those Black lesbian web series.
Got it.
Okay, then I had like the little Tumblr phase, and you know, everything.
I know, right? It was a lawless land.
Right. And I was like, wow, all of this is out there. And even going back to the whole gender identity thing, even me being a queer person, there are still facets of being LGBTQIA that I'm not well versed in, because, you know, I'm a lesbian, but then there are like trans people, being non-binary, being bisexual, all these different things that even I wasn't educated on. So I would say probably my first real like sense of representation was when I discovered YouTube, Tumblr, etc.
I think that's like kind of similar to us, Hondes. Like we were all up in Tumblr.
I loved it.
And it was definitely a place to explore sexuality, that's for sure, because there was lots of stuff on there.
Like you said, lawless land.
It really was.
Tumblr
was
wow.
It was like so unregulated. It was like the place to go look and like search like things that you were curious about or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like for definitely. Most people, especially our age, because that was like all we had was like Tumblr.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I saw on your TikTok that you go over like problematic characters through the L word, which like, so when I met all my friends, they're like, have you ever watched the L word? And well, I don't even know, I've never heard of it. So my friend's like, oh, you're probably a Shane girl, you're probably like, animal. I don't even know what you're saying, all this stuff. So I've never watched it, but then I watched the newer season, the Generation Q or whatever it is. Have you watched the newest one?
I have.
Do you like it more than the old one?
I do not. I mean, it's cool. It is. And I do think as far as, because one of the things that the original one lacked was diversity.
Yes. Oh, like, 1,000%. Yeah.
Exactly. Like they were all pretty much like
all white girls,
white lesbians. Very like if they had a black character, their involvement was very minimal.
Yeah.
Like even on the, even like Hispanic or Middle Eastern, Asian, everything for diversity was very minimal. So I do appreciate the newer series does try, they still could and to probably do a little bit more, but I think that they have come a long way as far as diversity. So I like that aspect, but I don't know if maybe it's just the nostalgia of the original one.
Sure, maybe. That's what I've heard from a lot of people,
Yeah, so I mean, I do still prefer the original one, but the new one is cool too.
Yeah, okay. I just always like to get people's opinions, because I feel like the new one, I feel like obviously diversity is like huge. So they have like a disabled character on there. They have trans characters on there, which I really love. But sometimes I feel like you can't just have characters to have those things in there just to like check a box. Like you're like, okay, that person's in here and that person's in here. Yeah.
And character development.
Like if they have no story arc other than that.
No, and they don't.
Exactly.
It's always centered around that. So thankfully, like with the character who's disabled, hers isn't being disabled, hers is like just living her life, thankfully. But for some of, especially the trans character that they do have, I feel like his whole thing is always centered about being transgender and the things he runs into. And I feel like that, I wish we could just see him being a normal person and dating and having sex and whatever, like figuring out his life.
And I think that's true, but I do think they came a long way as far as, you remember Max from the original series, the trans guy, how they depicted Max was very problematic in my opinion.
Oh yeah, everything.
Yeah, his identity was, not only was his identity only tied into him being trans, he was ridiculed. Everybody on the cast of the show was very transphobic.
Yeah.
Like them telling his story as far as a pregnant trans man, just, it was centered around ridicule more so than really telling his story as a trans person. So I do think they made a little stride, but I definitely see what you're saying. It's still like, oh, he's the token trans guy. Part of the cast. I agree with that for sure.
I think too, it kind of speaks to like why we like to ask that question too, is because now you are someone that's representative of others in social media, right? So like now you can be someone, right? Isn't that crazy to think about? I'm sure you get messages and stuff too from people who are like so enthralled by your like enigmatic personality and just your takes and how smart and educated you are. And so like you becoming someone who you never got to see growing up, it's very powerful. Like almost like sometimes it moves me to tears when I think about it, because it's like,
it's surreal,
right? Isn't it?
It's like when I sift through all the death threats in my DMs,
I get those too.
All the insults, and I see those messages from people. Like, I think the best compliment that I get throughout my whole platform is, you made me see things in a way that I never did before.
Yeah,
that's the one thing that people say to me where I'm like, wow, because that's what I kind of want to do. Like, you can't change people's perspectives and opinions, but when I hear somebody say like, you really educated me, like I had never considered that stance before, that makes me feel like I'm doing what I set out to do.
Yeah.
And like I've told you guys, me 2 years ago would have never done this. So now I'm here and I have all these people giving me all these compliments, saying how much they appreciate my voice. Sometimes I don't even know what to like do with that.
You know what I'm
saying? It's like, I overwhelming. Can't believe that.
Yeah, it's overwhelming in like the best way, because it's just like, it almost leaves you speechless, because you're like, what? I don't know what to say. I'm just like, I can't believe that like I always like describing myself, like I can't believe like me being a dickhead had like turned into this, you know what I mean? Like I was like, just being a fucking jester just for fun, and then it turned into you being somebody that is representative of others, like someone who never had somebody that looked like you or was gay. And growing up on social media, now they have someone to look to. So like people like you are so important. I say that all the time, like representation is so fucking important. It's so undersold, specifically by people who are always represented in media, like white people. They're always like, I don't know why you have to shove it down our throats. I'm like, or maybe it's just like,
not for you.
Yeah. Like, other people, well, other people exist in the world. I just can't believe, like, it's like, I saw a tweet the other day where someone was like, people will rant about like how they're shoving, you know, diversity down our throats when it's just like biracial people on the TV. Like they're just like in a phone commercial and they're like, see, this is just like it's being shoved in my face all the time.
Yeah. It's like they can't fathom a world where they're not centered because they always have been. That's exactly what it is. It's like, when you live a life where you never have to consider certain things, you never have to deal with like racism, you never have to deal with fat phobia, you never have to deal with homophobia, you never have to deal with these things. You're just used to this easy existence where you're always seeing people who look like you. Nobody's ever shaming you for certain traits. So when other people are speaking about it, you're like, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then when we tell you what the fuck we're talking about, you're dismissive towards.
So it's just
that entitlement of always being represented.
Literally. And it's also indicative too. It's like, it's the same shit when they say like, well, I don't see color. Well, yeah, because you have the privilege of not having to. Like, you don't have to worry about seeing color because it doesn't affect you. Yeah. Like, I wish we could all live like that. I wish we could all be in that ignorance.
They think that's what we want to hear. Like, oh, I don't see color. You could be purple with polka dots. But I'm not. I'm black.
Yeah. No, black literally.
Box. I'm not purple with polka dots. You know what I'm saying? So it's okay for you to acknowledge our differences.
Yeah.
And learn how to like live with them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Exactly. Right. And not talk over them.
Blind.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You need to be blind.
Yeah.
You need to like be aware of our color.
Yeah. Yeah. To just acknowledge it. It's like there's it costs, and I always think it costs you nothing. It costs you quite literally nothing at all to just acknowledge that there are disparities in the world. It's like, it's not a perfect world. We're not all treated the same. I don't know why that's such a hard concept for people to wrap their head around. It's like, it's just the reality of the situation. But like, I think that being said, like, what would you say was your first experience where you felt negatively impacted by social media, whether it was like seeing something or maybe hearing something like when you were growing up, or what would you say that experience was for you?
That's a great question. I would say as far as negative impact, even me going out of my way to find identities that resemble mine and people that look like me in communities, there are times where we're still bombarded with images of people who do not look like us, right? And as far as me not being conventionally attractive, I'm unambiguously black, I'm dark skinned. So I used to see all these lighter skinned girls with the 3B curls, and that was the idea of beauty. So oftentimes, as much as you try not to feel this way, it's like, that's the idea of beauty. I don't look like that.
Yeah.
So if I'm not beauty, then that makes me ugly. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And especially when you're like a preteen, and then I'm going to public school, getting ridiculed for these traits as well. It's like, you can start to internalize it. And I did at one point. To the point where like, I feel like I'm just now getting to the point where I'm truly like comfortable with who I am, to where the words that people say, the ignorant stuff people say in my comments doesn't really get to me. But me as like a teenager, wildly insecure. And I think social media kind of did play a role in that, a role that I didn't realize at the time.
Until you get older, then I think you start to like
look back.
And I think you start to unravel it too, like you start to like kind of unpack like, why did I feel this way at this particular time? And then you kind of see it for what it really is. Like, you're like, I guess it did get into my brain a little bit. Like, as much as you think,
did I realize?
Much as you think you're not holding on to it at all, I think like you definitely subconsciously hold on to things that like make you feel some type of way, especially about your looks. Especially as especially as women too, because we're always like, even regardless of what our personalities are like aesthetics are like top of mind. Like for men, it's like strength and intelligence. For women, it's like, which, how pretty you are, like how pretty you are, whether it's conventional or not. And then like how thin you are, those are like everything's centered around aesthetics more so than like substance, like who we are as people, what we can contribute, all those things. So, I mean, I can definitely, we can absolutely relate to that too. Me and Dace, especially as like, we're women of color growing up too. And we're thicker women too. And she's short, but I'm tall. So like, I was tall my whole life. So like, that was another thing.
How tall are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh no, not at all. I'm 6 feet. So
6 feet. Yeah. And I experienced that too. I'm 5'10".
Oh, nice.
Always the tallest in the school. And same. Help as far, especially since like, the way that Black women are often masculinized.
Yeah.
And I feel like me being tall definitely did not help. Oh, and you're also women of color. You said you're thicker. And I'm sure you being tall didn't necessarily help either.
No, yeah.
So it's like,
same thing. It's real losing battle when you're a kid, when you're younger. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We talked about that with Nita too, Hondes, like about how like obviously Black women especially are like hyper masculinized and also like painted to be these like aggressive people, like the aggressors in every situation. And like I told Nita, like obviously my experience is like so much different from hers and yours, but like I've had the same shit where they're like, oh, you're so aggressive, so fucking mean. So like, and I'm like, I literally laugh like 90% of my videos, like which part of that is me being like aggressive, like I'm gonna like,
and it's always in response to men saying the most disgusting shit. That's the thing. You're not just finding random bald men on the internet and bullying the shit out of them. It's always in response to them saying very evil things. So it's like they skip past what you're responding to say that you're mean and you're body shaming, and it's like you didn't hear what he said.
I saw someone comment that once too on my thing. They were like, they want to body shame, and then when you do it, they want to talk about morals. Like all of a sudden, they're like,
all of a sudden, we're supposed to be kind to each other, right?
All of a sudden, it's eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. All of a sudden, I get that all the time. An eye for an eye. They say that all the fucking time to me. So, I mean, it's just one of those things, I think, like, that we just have to deal with as creators, especially the more we grow and, like, the bigger...
Women of color,
And especially, like, just the reach that you start to have, too, like, as you get bigger, you start to reach these parts, these corners of the internet that are, like, truly fucking rotten. Like, they just find you and they're, like... It's just horrible. I think it just comes with the territory, but it's still it never gets any less shocking to me. It never really hurts my feelings, but it doesn't get any less shocking that I think that people like that exist in the world. Like,
exactly. Because it's like me, as far as like, of course, my platform is largely based on humor, right? So there's times where I'm talking about things like fucking America's Next Top Model, right? And they're still in the fucking comments like, why are you so angry? I'm like, bitch, I'm talking about a haircut. How could I be angry?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just because I speak with passion, you know, I'm a Black woman.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, she's not as dainty and as delicate as possible.
Yeah.
Scary. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. It doesn't even matter like, what you're saying. Yeah. They immediately characterize you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Angry. So it's like at this point, if I'm going to be angry, shit, I'll be angry. That's fine.
Same.
I don't mind literally being same. Angry anymore.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, the tone policing is crazy, because like I talked about this once too, but like I had a girl, a white girl, who copied exactly what the fuck I said. Like she literally verbatim was cutting and pasting the shit I was saying, and she was copying
laugh,
like my everything. Mannerisms, like literally everything, which is weird. And I was like, you know, when I found it, I was telling Dace about it and how fucking mad it made me for obvious reasons. But the biggest one was that the comments were from the dudes she was making fun of were all like, oh, like tough, but fair. This is so tough, but this is fair. You know what? Like, you got a good fucking point. And I'm like, it's crazy because she copied and fucking pasted exactly what the fuck I said. But these dudes, when I say it, are like, oh, you're a fucking bitch. Like, why are you so fucking mean and aggressive?
Exactly.
Like, so fucking bully. And I'm like, okay, but this white bitch says it and they're like, hey, comedy. You should do stand-up, girl.
Yeah.
You should get into skit writing, girl. You're so good.
That's why I was like, all of a sudden, just simply her being a white woman made it more palatable.
Yeah.
Which is wild when you think about it.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. Yeah, and they, you know, it's the same. I see it all the time too, like with Black creators too, where like it's like almost like their mask. They like put it on for like a show so they can post a video and like be funny and be popular, whether they're copying mannerisms or accents or using AAVE. They're just like using it as like a tool to like platform themselves, and then they can take it off whenever they want. They just stop talking that way, stop acting that way. They don't talk or act like that at all. And I literally said to him, like, you're telling me that this bitch talks like that normally? There's no way. There's
and it literally never sounds authentic either.
No,
like, you can always like, oh, they're always like, oh, well, I'm from the hood. I'm always around Black people. That's why I sound like this. But it's like, that's not even what Black people sound like. You're trying to talk like what you think we talk like, and you don't even talk like that. That's why we're able to identify it.
Yeah.
And then you're gaslit when you speak out about it. Like, I'm sure you probably were in reference to your situation.
Yeah.
When the person that was copying you is like, whenever you speak out about it, it's like, oh, what are you talking about? You're delusional. Y'all are just mad at everything. Right?
It was literally like a, we're saying that people can't flip people off now, like that's stealing. It's like you didn't fucking listen to anything else I said. It's just
and
shocker, it was another white bitch. So I'm like, dude, you're coming to the defense of your own. Like, that's shocking. I'm shocked. Right. I can't believe it. So anyways, I think Dayson had another question. Go ahead, Dace.
Yeah. So what made you decide to do a TikTok? So you said you didn't really have any social media. So I find that really funny that you're like, you know what? I'm going to do a TikTok and I'm going to rip everyone.
And then you blew up. Yeah.
So even like when TikTok was really, really popular, I was one of those people like, I don't get the point. Like, my coworkers, my friends, my family, they were obsessively watching it for hours, showing me TikToks. And I'm like, that's so lame. I don't get the point. Yeah. And then I remember one time we were at work and we were bored and my coworkers was like, okay, let's do a TikTok. And I fought them for my life. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. It was like one of the little dancey ones, which that's not even what I do now. So I was like, hell no, I'm not doing it. So eventually they convinced me, we did it for fun. And then I downloaded the app, started scrolling. I saw some stuff that was funny. I'm like, okay, I'll start. Then I feel like the side of TikTok I discovered was the whole like lesbian couples kind of thing. I was like, this is really cute. So I got into that. And then spare the moment, me and my girlfriend one time, I feel like we were like drunk or something, we decided to film like one of the little couples trends on TikTok. So I posted that, got like 600 views. We posted another one, got like 600 views. But then after that, I discovered kind of the social justice part of TikTok. And as I'm scrolling and I'm seeing these Black and brown creators, these queer creators speak out about certain certain issues, sharing their perspectives, their experiences, I'm like, this might be for me. So after a while, I started posting. I don't even remember what the first thing that I posted was. But the first thing that got me traction, I remember it was right after WAP came out Meg and Cardi B, and you know how all these people were saying how, oh, these whores, they're going they're ruining the youth. This is da 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 da.
Yeah.
And that really like struck me because I realized when women are in these male rap artist videos, shaking ass, they're talking about how we're not good for anything, but like sucking dick, all this stuff. It's fine when they're sexualizing us, when they're objectifying us, when they're saying the most disgusting, vile things about women. But then you have these two women who are sexualizing themselves, who are being sexual and sexy, and all of a sudden it's like ruining society.
They're like, the kids, but what about the kids?
Exactly. Right? Like, throat babies out, nobody saying shit. but what is a problem?
Yeah,
so that was the first video that I kind of went somewhere, got like 30k views. I'm like, okay, maybe I can like do this. So I started posting more regularly, and then all of a sudden I feel like I jumped to like 300k in like a couple weeks. I'm like, what the fuck, like me, why are you guys here to watch me?
Right.
And then, like, as I got more consistent, that's when, of course, I started to grow and I started to discover more feminist content, and that's kind of how I found my way with TikTok. Yeah, like I said, initially TikTok was the furthest thing from my mind. Would have never done it.
Honestly, same.
So grateful for it.
So what has your experience been on TikTok now that you have over 1 million followers? Like, so you said you jumped to 300,000 and now you're at over 1.4. So how, like, quick, like, how long have you been on TikTok, I guess, is like my first question. And then what's the difference now that you have a bigger following?
Mm-hmm. I will make a year next month.
Wow. Okay, cool. That's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was very surprised because when I first started posting, I'm like, I'm sure, like, me getting 1,000 followers, I'm like, okay, this is gonna take 2 years, right? So I was definitely selling myself very short.
Yeah.
So yeah, progression is way quicker than I thought it would be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So has your experience been different on TikTok now that you have over 1 million followers? Like,
yeah, from when you were like smaller to now, because I know, like, when I was smaller, like, I was going off the rails, like, like responding to hate and shit. Like, I was going off. I would post like 10 videos a day because I was like, fuck it, I only have like 9,000 followers, fuck it, I'm just gonna do it. But now it's like different. Obviously the stats change, and then
you're
kind of like, tolerance changes. You're like, eh, whatever, like, it's
exactly as- and it's like, even at where I'm at, like, there's a significant difference. So to where you're at, couldn't even imagine. But honestly, but I definitely have seen a change from when I was a smaller creator to now. Yeah. Obviously, when you get more positive attention, you get more negative attention.
Yeah.
So it's like, at sometimes I feel like no matter what I say, there's going to be somebody in the comments arguing. Like, I could say the fucking sky is blue and the clouds are white, and somebody's gonna be in there like, you bitch, the sky was pink last night. Like, I can't, like, so of course that's one I'm thinking that's probably the most dramatic difference.
Okay. Yeah,
is the amount of people I'm now exposed to.
Got it.
Exactly. So, and of course more opportunities come when you're a larger creator, so it feels more, of course I still love it, it's still fun, it's still enjoyable, but it does feel like a job now.
Yeah,
sometimes. I feel you. Whereas before it was like posting on Instagram for fun, but now it's like business involved.
Yeah.
And that kind of triggers my anxiety at times. I think that's the two biggest things, is the negative attention and the business aspect of it.
That's something that I feel like a lot of creators don't really talk about, especially since like, creators like you and I, like, we didn't set out to do this. Like, it just kind of happened. It just kind of fell into our lap. So now both of us are like people that fight for others and speak up in the face of bigotry. So it's almost like a mantle that we've taken on. So now it's like, when you don't talk about things, they're like, why don't you talk about this? Like, why haven't you talked about this?
Exactly. It's like, because of the type of content that we do, it's almost like an added layer of responsibility, right?
Yep.
Like, whereas if we were just doing like little dancey dances, which and by no means am I downing that content, because content is content. But when you make certain kind of social justice content, they expect a lot.
It's
like, oh, why didn't you speak on this, like, all hours of the day they're hitting you on Instagram, they're emailing you. Like, I'm one person.
Seriously,
like, they send me the most triggering videos sometimes, asking me to, and I'm like, I appreciate that you guys want my perspective on these things, but it's like, I'm still human, and sometimes I don't feel like talking about these things.
Having to like set those boundaries. I'm glad that you're the same as me, because like, I've had to set boundaries like that, because there's just certain content that I'm just never going to talk about, and it's not because I'm afraid of the backlash, it's literally because it's triggering to me. So it's
exactly,
like, I gotta take care of me too. Like, I can't fight everyone's battles, girl. Like, I'm tired, man. Like, I'm fighting all the time. It's like, I'm constantly like swinging on everybody. So like, sometimes I gotta choose me, like, over that, like, my own peace of mind, my own like safeness, my
1,000%, 1,000%.
And it's kind of, it's heavy. It's a heavy load to carry sometimes, because, you know, you get all these messages that are like, oh, like, you know, this, you mean so much to me. Like, I've never thought about standing up for myself, and you like change the way I see things. Like, it's like something that's very like amazing, and then it's also, like you said, an added layer of responsibility that you did not think was going to come your way.
Exactly. Like, I even sometimes have people emailing me for advice, and I'm like,
oh,
like,
oh my god, me too.
I speak on certain topics, but I don't know if I'm qualified to like give you advice on your divorce. I don't think I'm quite qualified, and especially like minors when they're sending me certain things, and it's like you have to tread so lightly, and it's like you have to explain to them in a way like, I can't really talk to you about this because I don't want to say the wrong thing. It's like it's rewarding and it's beautiful, but it's also stressful a lot of the time.
It's taxing, to say the least. And like,
it is.
And I've talked about this with Dace too, like setting boundaries, because she taught me a lot about boundary setting and stuff too. And it was kind of like a balancing act, because like in the beginning you feel like you have to respond to all of it, because if you don't, like, what if it disappears, or what if people think that you're like a bad person because you're not responding to them? And it's like, it's so heavy. So like sometimes I'll have people like send me stuff and they're like, oh yeah, like make fun of this dude, like he was mean to me the other day and he deserves it and blah blah. I'm like, I'm not getting in the middle of your personal beef. Like, I don't I don't know that person. Like, I don't know what you did, I don't know what he did, but it's none of my goddamn business, is my point. Like, I'm not getting in the middle of it. There's no way. Like,
they even asked me to speak on like beef with other creators, like situations I have nothing to do with. Oh, they're like, man, can you speak on the argument between? I'm like, no. Why would I? I don't have shit to do with that.
And it's always like the most problematic, like white creators who are really famous.
Oh my god.
No, they can deal with that.
And I don't know if you relate to this too, Chris, but like sometimes there are some videos that I purposely don't involve myself with, because it's not only is it drama between white people that don't know me and I don't know them, right? But it's also like they have, like, sometimes these men have like the most toxic, horrible fucking fan bases. And sometimes I need a break, bitch. Sometimes I don't want to see a million fucking death threats in my folder. Like, I don't want to see that shit sometimes.
So I intentionally
don't stitch it.
I've been called a dyke 10 times already. I don't need an 11. I'm gonna stay out of this one.
I know. And that's why I'm like, it's one of those things where we have to, like, I guess, pick our battles, like, especially now at the level we're at now. Like, now I'm like, I got bigger fish to fry, bitch. Like, I'm not trying to like waste my goddamn time on these dudes.
And the thing is, I feel like sometimes they purposely do stuff now to get your attention.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm going to get on here and I'm just going to say the most ridiculous, outrageous shit. So people tag Drew in my comments and I get me a little 15 minutes of fame. Like, I feel like they do it on purpose a lot of the time. Sure. So even some of the things they ask me to respond to, I'm like, I can kind of sense like they're asking for like a response, like they're purposely trolling about these serious subjects to get me to say something, and I'm not going to. I'm just going to report and move on.
Literally same here. I've told people too, I'm like, it's not like I got tagged in one about a minor too. Like, they were both minors, it was a girl and a boy. And I was like, I'm not making a video about this. Like, I'm grown. Like, this dude is like 13, 14 years old. Like,
That's why I had to put the 18 plus on my I really want to do like 21, 25 plus.
Literally.
But like that was my way of saying, don't ask me to speak on no damn preteens. Yeah. I'm not doing it.
That's why I've made videos on teens before, but they were like 18, 19, 20. And so they're like, oh, you're just gonna bully these kids? Like, they said that about these. I said, this dude can vote. What do you fucking mean? Fuck you mean this kid, these kids, you know what I'm saying? Like,
what you can join the military. you can take it, that's all.
But a 13-year-old, I'm not doing that. Like, look at me. And I said, I get that about full-grown men, like dudes that are older than me. They're like, you're a fucking bully. So like, can you imagine if I did it to a 13-year-old kid? Like, there's sometimes it's just not worth my time. So
I agree.
So speaking of like dealing with like hate and stuff, like specifically, like, what has your experience been like with hate on TikTok? Like, do you think that your experience is worse than what like white creators receive, for example? And like, has it gotten worse? Has it gotten bigger? Like, what's been your experience with that?
Of course, I do feel like there's an added layer, being as though I'm a Black woman. I feel like they probably got like more material now, because it's like, instead of just instead of the misogynistic shit, I'm gonna be racist on top of that.
Yeah.
And then let me sprinkle on some homophobia.
Yeah.
So I do feel like there are added layers to it. And of course it has gotten worse because there's more of it, but there's also more love too.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, like, I don't even necessarily have to say anything because the other people in the comment, because me, I'm just gonna block and move on. Yeah. I'm not gonna make no response video. Argue. So because you're gonna delete the comment anyway. I'm not gonna argue with you. I'm just gonna block you and move on. But oftentimes, mm-hmm. before I even get to the block, like, the people in my comments, they're on it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely think there has been an uptick. The bigger I get, the more hate, but there's more love too. So most of the time, it doesn't get to me. I feel like, of course, we're human, so there are times where it's like, okay, enough.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I'm able to kind of like shrug it off, block, and move on.
Yeah.
And another thing, like, I have to, like, a boundary I feel like I want to set with my followers is like, on my behalf, don't get out of your character trying to defend me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen people threaten to dox people on my behalf, like sending death threats, talking about people's kids. I'm like, I promise you don't have to do all that to defend me, because I'm just gonna block this motherfucker and I'm gonna go on about my day.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do all of that. Because it's like, after a certain, like, I've almost been doing this a year, it's like, you're used to it.
Yeah.
Because there are certain, like, and the thing is, I can take criticism. Like, if I'm human, so there's going to be some times where I say something that doesn't quite hit right, or mm-hmm. I might say something just flat out ignorant. Mm-hmm. I don't mind being checked for that.
Yeah.
So I'll take the criticism, but I also know there are some people who would argue with a rock on TikTok. It don't matter what type of content you make. It can be family content, post your fucking dog.
Yeah.
It could be anything. And they're going to find something to insult you on.
Yeah.
So because I know that, it's easier for me to deal with the hate. Cause I'm like, okay, y'all gonna hate on anybody.
Literally. Yeah. We talk about that a lot too, especially like how the hate differs, like, between us and like white creators, and like even between you and I, because I'm not a black woman, so obviously, like, I know for black creators it's so much worse because people are so fucking rotted and evil on the inside. The people who are going out of their way to comment hate on shit they don't even care about, like,
exactly.
So I get like the most aggressive, like, visceral fucking hate too, and like, even then, like, when I've talked about this before, like, gym bros are the fucking worst. Like, every time I do them, I get an influx of like the most aggressively white supremacist fucking bullshit ass dudes. Like, it's just the most horrible fucking shit. And I was telling Nita this when we talked to her, but like, white supremacist dudes literally only know like three races. So it's like Mexican, Asian, black.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, nothing else. So they know I'm not Mexican because I'm too tall and all, like, they do the math a little bit, and then they're like, oh, so she must be black. So then they send me the most vile fucking shit. So I literally told Nina, like, I can only imagine if I was visibly and actually presentably black, how much worse it would be, because they're just so hell bent on being awful. Like, this is horrible, like, having to see it. So I was like talking about how I've had dudes like that send me a bunch of hate because of what happened. Like, their fucking followers came and were up my asshole for like 2 weeks. They camped out in there. They fucking set up a tent. They were like, let's chill. This is fucking awesome in here. Nice and cozy up in there. So like, I had a dude like that be like, I'm getting death threats, like, blah, blah. I said, I will give you fucking $10,000 if you can send me one death threat you got from me. From my followers, but I'll send you a whole folder if you need one. Yep, the ones I got from you. Like, what the fuck, dude? So like, I totally get it. Like, having to deal with it is like, you just grow an even thicker skin, crazy enough. Yeah,
absolutely. And I definitely have over the last years. Like, at this point, you can say whatever. At this point, I've heard it all.
Same. And since we make such similar content too, like, sometimes I have creators that don't make anything near, like, they're like, they're just like cute pretty girls, or like they make cooking videos or something, and they're like, how do you deal with the hate? Like, how do you deal with that? I was like, I just don't care anymore. Like, it doesn't hurt me. Yeah.
I'm numb.
That's just, yeah, at and this point,
yeah, and at, most of the time they don't even make sense. Their insults and shit don't make sense. They're real low hanging fruit, like fat ugly.
They're not even creative. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I would respect it maybe a tad more if you were like creative, if your wordplay was clever.
Yeah,
like
very I know, surface it, level.
It's the same evil misogynistic racist bullshit.
Yeah, like it's just copy pasted every single time. It's like the same shit over and over again.
Yeah, this one guy said I look like Snoop Dogg. I'm like, bitch, that's a good one. I'm like, bitch, you got me with that one. You guys had to give him a little bit some props with that. It's the same bullshit.
I know. I literally had someone on Twitter call me, what was it, Dace? It was like Pot of Evil or something.
It's
like
greed.
Agreed. It's like it's a Yu-Gi-Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh card. I looked that shit up. I said, damn, that's a good one. You fucking got me.
Motherfucker.
I said, oh, so all you got jokes. That's what I said.
Okay.
So those ones I see it and I'm like, oh, okay. Like that one, that's pretty good. Like everyone else is the same fat ugly bitches.
Yeah.
Every single time. So I'm like, well, just another day on TikTok.
Right. Exactly.
Another DM the lay that of I the got. Land.
Yeah.
So we always like to end every episode about kind of sharing how we can do better on like regardless of like whatever the topic is. So we wanted to know, how can we better support Black creators on TikTok?
Great question. Honestly, I think a lot of people, when it comes to how they can be allies or how they can help support the Black community, I feel like they take this position of almost like, oh, I have to like sacrifice my soul. Like I have to lay at your feet and grovel. Like, how can I? Like, and it doesn't have to be all that. Guilt and everything is not really what we're asking for. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we're asking for is like humanity and education, really.
Yeah.
Like, listen to us when we're speaking, instead of like copying us or taking from us, platform us, just sort of like you guys are doing, what you're already doing is a great start. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like, invite us on your platforms, share us on our platforms, support our platforms the same way we do other people. You see what I'm saying? Don't speak over us.
Yeah.
Listen to what we're saying. Don't always ask us to educate you. Do your own education.
Just
things like that go a long way. You see what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to give me your firstborn child. just don't be racist and listen to what I'm actually saying. That's really just what I'm asking for. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, it's real bare minimum, honestly.
Exactly.
It's not hard.
It's like, they listen from a place of like defensiveness, rather than understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, when you're listening just to disagree with me, you're not gonna understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. And you're not really listening. That's not active listening.
Just waiting to talk.
Just absorb some of what I'm saying.
Got it.
And respect is really just what we're asking for, I think. Yeah.
And credit a lot of times too.
credit.
And that's
that
a huge
should
one.
Be the bare minimum, but it's not.
Right. That's like at the very, very, very fucking least. Like credit.
A pinned comment or something. Damn.
Yeah. Literally a tag in the caption is not, it's not, doesn't take much. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then our last question, we want to end it on a fun note. So what's the coolest thing you've done or that's happened to you because of TikTok?
The coolest thing I've done. Actually, and I don't know, because I've heard certain people, creators of color, Black creators, say this. As far as opportunities from TikTok, I haven't, with my follower count, I haven't done as much as people would think. So I would say probably the most mind-blowing thing that I've got is just the opportunity to support myself based off my work on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds so small, but like, that's probably the biggest thing. Like, I'm not going to all these parties. I'm not doing all these things. Not yet. I'm manifesting them, but they haven't happened yet.
Right.
But just like being able to make an income,
being
able to make money, to support myself, to do all these things just based solely off my perspectives and my opinions. That in itself is extremely rewarding, to the point that if I never get into certain spaces, I still feel very fulfilled.
So
I would say just the opportunity to create an income and a platform based solely off of just who I am and what I think crazy, surreal, amazing.
Yeah, something it's just off you. Yeah,
yeah. It's literally like getting paid to be yourself, which is exactly like the most rewarding shit ever. I totally relate to that. That's like one of the biggest things we've always wanted to. I just always wanted to do something. I just didn't know what it was gonna be, like in media. And exactly. then now that it's like getting paid to be yourself, it's like so fucking cool. It's like surreal. It's like something you never get over, I feel like.
And I never thought that this would, like, I didn't even know I wanted to do anything in social media.
Yeah.
Like, I just knew I didn't want to go to college or work. that doesn't leave very many options. Yeah. But I kind of just fell into this. And that's another thing that makes it so crazy. It's like, this is not calculated or planned. It just happened so authentically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy.
Absolutely. Great. And that's something too, I think that all three of us can relate to, is like, we had lives before this. Like, we lived life, we worked jobs,
nine to five.
Exactly. Cause a lot of people make it so young now on like TikTok. And I feel like they have this like almost like missing piece of like life experience. So then it's almost like, oh, like, it was so easy. Like, you can do it too.
I still work my 9 to 5. That's the thing. I still work a 9 to 5. And that's another thing with all the stuff that they're demanding from you. I feel like I'm not 17. I'm not at home all day. Like, I work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, sometimes Saturday. Like, I can't sit up on this app and make videos for every single thing that y'all want me to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to be able to quit my 9 to 5, but I'm not there yet. Yeah. So.
You're on your way, that's for sure. And like, honestly, anything that we can do to help support you or platform you further, like, it's been an honor getting to talk to you. Like,
I know.
Love and appreciate your perspective so much. You're so fucking smart, and I love smart. Yeah. I love smart girls. Aww. I love it. I love it so
much. Thank you guys so much for having me. It was an honor to come here. When I saw the message from you, I'm like, wait, why is Drew DMing me on TikTok? I'm so glad that you guys invited me. It was a great time talking to you guys.
Of course. Well, just thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Two Idiot Girls. And we want to once again thank Chris, the author, for coming on our show. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It was so awesome and incredible. Please go follow. Oh, yeah. Let me ask you, where can everybody find you on all your different platforms?
TikTok, of course, my biggest platform. I'm Chris, the author. My Instagram name, which, why am I not remembering my Instagram name right now? Well, my Instagram name is linked through my TikTok, so
I don't remember the name.
I have a YouTube channel that I'm starting soon that I need to stop procrastinating on, so look out for that.
Awesome.
So yeah, that's where you guys can find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And thank y'all for joining us on this episode of Two Idiot Girls. We'll see you guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.